you help to look after a family member or friend who has a disability, long-term condition or an addiction, you are a carer. Carers can get help, you know, and are entitled to rights. If this is you, give the folks at North Lanarkshire Carers Together a ring and they'll keep you right. Because carers have to know.
Welcome to this episode of Carers Together, the podcast from North Lanarkshire Carers Together. I'm Angela, your host today. This episode coincides with the launch of a consultation on carer breaks in North Lanarkshire. It's been carried out by us at NLCT to help improve the experiences of unpaid carers who want to access breaks from their caring role. We spoke to Susan for this podcast, an unpaid carer who has experienced the difficulties that can be involved in accessing breaks and respite. Susan kindly shares her experiences and talks to us about the solutions that can make a positive difference to the current systems in place. Thank you so much for joining us today for this podcast on carer breaks, Susan. Before we get into the really in-depth detail on breaks and your experience of trying to access a break, can you just tell me a little bit about your caring role and how important it is for you to be able to access a break?
Thanks, Angela. Yeah, I've become a carer for my husband since August 2020, so sort of during lockdown. And I've continued to be a carer for my husband since then. I think initially I wasn't really aware of how important a break would be, because we were in the middle of lockdown and nobody was really having breaks or holidays or time out, really. So it wasn't until things started to relax a little bit and I became more conscious of the fact that I needed to get away from the situation for a few days and start exploring how we could make that happen. And initially I did get a small break and utilised family to help, and that was quite problematic. I couldn't relax because I was worried about how they were coping. So again, I thought I need to look at this in terms of getting somebody more formalised or more kind of professional involved, and found that to be really quite difficult to navigate in terms of who would assist and who, how would I make that happen. But certainly it's really important, I think, for me as a carer, and I'm sure for others, to have access to some time out. And I think that's important primarily for your health, your well-being, your sanity. Let's not forget that. And you know, I think because you've moved from a situation where you've had a fair degree of personal freedom, the ability to kind of do things, go where you want to, when that's taken away from you, it's really important that you can have some of that back, even if just for a short time.
Yeah, and like you say, for your overall well-being, but mental health as well, which we
very important. You need an outlet from just the general kind of pressures and stresses and strains that go with caring for somebody full time, and having to navigate all the systems and infrastructure around that person's health and social care. So yeah, really vital.
And there's also the bit about yourself and your own identity and just being able to be yourself for a period.
Absolutely. I didn't realise how important that was, because I've always worked, I've always been in a kind of professional role, so was always quite independent of my husband, because I had my own career and my own interests and whatnot, and that was very much kind of taken away. You don't realise it straight away, but over time it starts to kind of become more aware of it.
And when you did get to the point that you were trying to access a longer break for yourself, and you were trying to access something more substantial and bringing professionals into it, you came up against a lot of issues, didn't you? Can you talk me through what happened and how it affected everyone?
Yeah, I guess I expected to be able to access, I guess, what's called traditional respite, which in our case was to be able to find a care home that could take my husband for a period of time to allow me a break away. That's what I assumed would happen. I had experience through family and friends of being able to work at form a relationship with one care home and book respite provision ahead of time. Once I started exploring that, I found that was not the case anymore. North Lanarkshire had changed that policy and they no longer reserved respite beds in care homes. When I started to contact care homes, invariably all of them, without any exception, did not have respite beds that they ring-fenced for the council. So they were unable to offer any advance booking. It was a case of, well, if you're wanting to take a break in June, just ring us 2 weeks beforehand, but we can't guarantee anything. So from my perspective, that meant I couldn't plan, I couldn't book a break or a holiday because I had no certainty and no confidence that I could access a respite bed in a care home. And we had, when I did get round to finally booking a week's holiday last July, we ended up, both myself and a social worker, ringing round 10, 12 care homes. And we couldn't access a bed in any home in the top end of North Lanarkshire, Cumbernauld, Kilsyth, Airdrie, Coatbridge. That general area had no beds.
And it seems almost impossible that that can be the case, that you're a full-time carer and you're simply trying to access time out.
It was just stressful. I had already booked a holiday, and in the end we managed to get my husband into a care home in a different authority in Eastern Bartonshire. It was not a good experience for him. Didn't work out well, and I was very reluctant to go back through that lottery situation. That's what it felt like. And I then decided to have a look at live-in care, which I thought might work better for my husband because he could stay in situ and have somebody living in with him to do to fill the gaps in between social care and stay over. I was initially kind of a little bit wary about that because you're inviting somebody into your home, you're putting a huge amount of trust in an individual that you don't know, to not only look after your loved one but also to look after your house. So however, given the experience with the home, I decided to go down that route and try it for a three-night break, just so we could see if that worked. Next problem, I contacted a number of agencies that offered live-in care. Many of them wouldn't do 3 days, which I guess constitutes a short break. They wouldn't do it. They were only interested in 1 week, 2 week blocks. And that's not what I was after. So I eventually, through my own research, found a company called Elder, and they are what's classed as an introduction agency. So they don't employ carers, they have a pool of self-employed carers who will do live-in care. And that's how I accessed an individual to come for the 3 nights, and it worked very well. I think we were just lucky, we got somebody that my husband got on with, and it worked fine.
What's really striking me about this, though, is that you found a solution that worked. So that element, great. But you had...
I had to do all of the groundwork. I think that in my dealings with social work, the live-in option didn't appear to be on the radar, and they weren't able to suggest any companies that I might contact that could provide that kind of service. And I think the other twist in the tale, if you like, is that having found a carer, the council were struggling with this because the introduction agency were not registered as a care provider with the Care Commission. So this caused huge confusion and consternation. No, we can't approve this. However, again, I had to keep pushing and provide the information that they needed to reassure them that it was a bona fide agency, that they did all the requisite checks and balances and vetting, etc. And I think there was, again, quite a lack of understanding and awareness of live-in care as an option. I even encountered one comment, but does the person stay overnight?
One of the things we had actually touched on when we spoke previously was you were saying, you know, you were having to go back to social work time and time again to your social worker. Mm. And you actually feel that it's not the job for the social worker to source all of this. And
I personally don't think it should be the job of a professional qualified social worker to be ringing round care homes and respite providers. And I don't think that's necessarily typical. I do know of other authorities that have dedicated teams and their job is to source respite, whether that's for emergency reasons or for short breaks. So it didn't strike me as being a good or effective use of a social worker's time. I think the other observation is that for me, somebody who has this as a more dedicated role would have much more knowledge and insight into the care and respite provision in the region. So for instance, they would know which homes offer respite, because not all of them do. Mm-hmm. I think there's an assumption that all care homes offer respite, but the list that I was provided by the council, probably a good quarter of the homes on that list didn't provide respite. So why were they on the list as being respite providers? So the list was outdated. It provided no contextual information about the home. I wanted to be sure that if my husband went into a home, it was the right environment for him. And obviously many homes will have particular areas within the home that are maybe for residents that have quite severe dementia or Alzheimer's, and then maybe other areas where it's a quieter environment. I couldn't have put my husband into an environment that would have been very noisy and disruptive. I think that would have been very difficult for him to deal with. It's not just a case of a bed, it's a case of, is this the right environment for the person? Can they provide the level of care that's needed for that person? Really it needs to be somebody who understands what the carer and the cared for person needs, but is able to that home or that this group of homes would work best for that person. Mm-hmm. This option would work best.
So almost having somewhere in the mm-hmm. system a dedicated resource to...
Yeah, I think so. Where that knowledge and expertise is there within that team.
Because like you say, speaking about each individual's needs, everybody's going to be completely different. Yeah. So having somebody who has that level of knowledge, which is very detailed, in-depth knowledge, would be absolutely fantastic to have that.
And having, I mean, I've lost count of how many assessments, care plans, etc. that I've done over the last 2.5 years. But none of them seem to quite hit the mark. If we had one care plan that was more integrated and factored in respite and emergency care planning, etc., that I think would be a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So you feel that at that point of doing an assessment, having your adult care support plan designed, if at that point that was the in for respite and breaks to be discussed, things could be put in motion.
I think so.
From a more sort of centralised...
Yeah, a more holistic kind of approach to the, not just the individual, but the family situation that that individual is in, and how are we covering emergency situations? How is this person getting looked after should the primary carer not be able to do it for whatever reason?
Your story really has come to the fore, and you're here today because you had to push so hard and contact social work, who then came to us and highlighted your story, and it's become the catalyst for this whole consultation that is now starting across North Lanarkshire, asking carers about their experiences of short breaks and respite and what can be done better. If you could just get in there and sort of design how this would work, you know, I know you're talking about a holistic approach. How would that ideally work in a way that is so easy for carers to access a break?
I think intuitively it always feels as if it would be better to have a central point, a one-stop shop, a one point of contact, so that you're not having to navigate a social work system or another system. As I said, intuitively, it would be much better for me to have a team or one or two individuals that you could go to that have that overview of your of the carer, of the cared for person, that you can go to discuss issues, problems, concerns. As it is, I'm having to straddle between social work, home care, and another third party that provides some support work for my husband. So I'm having to kind of navigate 3 to 4 different agencies at the moment. And I don't get the sense of join up between home care, which is a vital service for me, and the social work side of things. I think one kind of route in would certainly be beneficial. And I think if I was looking at trying to design a system, and I have kind of mentioned this before, it's maybe looking at it from the point of view of categories of breaks or support that carer is maybe going to need. And that would range from one of the challenges I face is that if I have an appointment, a hospital appointment or something, it's extremely difficult for me to get cover during the working week. Weekends not so bad, I can call in family, but Monday to Friday it's very difficult to arrange appointments and those sorts of things. So if there was the facility to have that short, very short-term sitter service almost, and then that's a spectrum of support from the very short-term up to the week or the two-week break, and a menu of options that could be customised to suit the individual. So for some people, respite within the traditional care home environment is the best, maybe the only option. But for others, a combination of that with potentially live-in care is going to work better for them.
Yeah, and it sounds like from what you're saying and from your personal experience, you've really identified that actually having that, as you mentioned, that menu or, you know, a choice of options is really important.
It is. I think looking at breaks more broadly than the traditional respite of somebody going into a home for a period of 1 week or 2 weeks and the carer having a break, that there's still a place for that, but it's trying to make it more flexible and recognising that a carer might just want a long weekend or 1 or 2 days. And that's where the live-in care is actually quite a good option.
Having to go through, you know, assessments or fill out forms or fill out plans, carers often say that they just have to keep telling their story over and over again to access each service every time they go around. And that very much applies to short breaks as well, because a lot of the ways in which carers can apply for short breaks, it is actually an application process. So a carer will go to a short breaks bureau and apply for a short break and have to go through their whole story again part of that process. I imagine that might be A, intimidating, B, tiring, C, onerous.
The sharing of the information for me is less of an issue. It's having to do it time and time again that is frustrating, and add DWP into the mix, and that's even more of a bugbear. But I never applied for a carer's break, so I can't really, comment on the process. And why didn't I apply for one? Because A, I didn't think there was any point, because unless I could get respite from my husband, I couldn't take the break, so that had to be integrated. And I didn't feel that, I felt I could manage my own break. If I needed a break, I could do it myself. It was more the respite that I needed.
Yeah, and there is some talk around how useful having that traditional building-based respite, where, as we mentioned earlier, somebody goes to stay in a care home, and there's discussion around whether or not that is still useful and whether or not that's what carers want. But coming back to choice, do you think it's important that that's still...
I think it has to remain in play, because not everybody would find live-in care, I would guess, suitable for them. It might not... It's like everything else, it maybe wouldn't work for everybody. I think... So you need to keep everything in play, and I think care homes can work if you can form a relationship with one or two and use them regularly. What doesn't work is a system where it's a complete lottery in terms of which care home you might get. And I think from a care home's perspective, if they knew that the individual was coming in maybe 3 or 4 times a year for respite, then they get to know them. And that it's better for the cared for person, because they then get into an environment that is familiar to them. Certainly from my husband's perspective, the care home didn't work for him at all. And he's much happier staying at home. He has his comforts around him. He has his routine, he has personal social care coming in daily, and the things that he likes are all, that continuity is there for him. We found going into a care home environment very disruptive for him, and we had to deal with the impact of that when he came out. He was less settled, he was shouting out in the middle of the night, which he never previously did. But it might work better for others. So I think you have to keep all these things in mix. Mm-hmm. You were telling me about the kind of consultation, and we asked previously about kind of if you had to design it, what would better support carers? And when I thought about it, there seemed to me to be kind of 5 key areas where I felt improvements could be made to better meet the needs of carers. I think firstly, the ability to arrange and book a respite period in advance. And that would then enable the carer to be able to book a break with confidence. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I think the ability to build a relationship, if the care home is the best option, to build a relationship with one or two homes and use those regularly. That's far better for the cared for person because of the familiarity and the continuity. But you know, the present approach is completely random and completely uncertain. I think thirdly, the ability to access respite for flexible periods of time. I know we've covered this before, but rather than have limits imposed by the care home or the care provider, be able to adopt a more flexible approach so that the breaks could be anything from a couple of days to a week, 2 weeks, whatever. Fourthly, an up-to-date and comprehensive care plan which can be shared easily with respite providers, whether they are homes or live-in providers. And that would reduce the duplication of effort, make things easier for the carer when they know that there is a comprehensive plan that is accessed and accessible and able to be shared with multiple agencies. I think finally, looking at live-in care and sitter services as part of that menu of break options.
Susan there summing up her views on how accessing carer breaks can be simplified for unpaid carers, making taking a break a much easier process. Susan talked to us today as part of our consultation on breaks for carers. You can take part, share your views by filling out our survey online. It's pinned at the top of our Twitter profile. The handle is @NLCT_carers. That's @NLCT_carers. And it's on our Facebook profile. Just search NLCT. You can also find details on our website. Thanks again to Susan for her contribution today, and thank you for joining us for this episode.
If you help to look after a family member or friend who has a disability, long-term condition or an addiction, you are a carer. Carers can get help, you know, and are entitled to rights. If this is you, give the folks at North Lanarkshire Carers Together a ring, and they'll keep you right. Because carers have to know.